Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Scorching temperatures have descended on much of the country. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
The heat dome, unfortunately, is going to stick around. It's going to be anchored right over the center of the country.
Feels like temps expected to top 100 from the Florida Keys to Kansas City. Martin Luther King Jr.'s family speaks out after the Trump administration released files on his 1968 assassination. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
King's two children released a statement saying the files should be viewed within their full historical context and condemned any attempts to misuse the information in ways intended to undermine our father's legacy.
Bill Cosby paying tribute to his TV son, Malcolm Jamal Warner, who drowned in Costa Rica.
Malcolm was always embracing relationships with everybody he worked with.
Cosby in a phone call with CBS's Jerika Duncan. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An 82-year-old man has died after a crash between a UTV and a dump truck in Portage County on Monday morning. It happened around 8:44 a.m. near the intersection of County Trunk Highway Double Z and Rainbow's End Road in the township of New Hope. The 82-year-old man from the town of Lanark was the operator of the UTV and died as a result of injuries he sustained during the crash. No other injuries were reported. The crash is under investigation. The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safety tips with residents for sharing the road with large trucks and buses as their law of the month in July. Lisa Hale reports.
The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safety tips with residents for sharing the road with large trucks and buses as their law of the month for July. According to a press release, drivers should avoid lingering in the blind spots of large trucks or buses. Follow them at a safe distance, watch for turn signals, and pass them cautiously. Drivers should also give trucks and buses the right-of-way when entering a roundabout, as the larger vehicles need extra space for turns. The Wisconsin State Patrol is reminding all drivers that safety on the road is a shared responsibility.
The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health detailed the connections between extracurricular activities and youth mental health in its most recent fact sheet, finding that kids who participate in extracurriculars, such as lessons, sports, after-school clubs, or community service, tend to have better mental health. Regardless of where the activity takes place, extracurriculars are known to help kids create strong bonds with their peers, develop conflict resolution skills, and be more engaged with school. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public. Three preseason games followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a four-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can, but we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be warm and muggy here the next couple of days. Partly cloudy today, 86 with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, thunderstorms likely with a low dropping to 73. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms. It's going to be muggy with a heat index approaching 100 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Lighty joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north from Lake Wissota on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd, 8:06 the time right now. We've got Parker Olson producing this fine program down in Madison Studio A2. We've got Chad Holmes standing by from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot reporting live from EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, where we have chased her back into the tent for sound muffling purposes. It's amazing how when you get together thousands of planes and people, it gets a little noisy out there. And so back at the campground, things are a little more quiet.
They are. All the volunteers and people have gone inside now, and now I get to sit here in peace and quiet in my hot tent. It's getting hot in here.
It is, aren't you? You got the one fan that you said is...
Yep. Here's the good old fan. That's... The trusty old solar power fan. The only air moving in here at the moment. Got the windows open, trying to stay cool, but, you know, it's a beautiful day here. The sun is shining awesome in Oshkosh, but I know a lot of the state is pretty cloudy out there this morning. Temperatures right now 63 degrees to about 73 degrees statewide. Winds aren't moving too much either. We've got that warm front starting to push on in. We do have a small chance for a few spotty sprinkles that could pop up later this afternoon far, far northwest in the state. Otherwise, we're just going to get warm and muggy today. The dew point's climbing into the 70s alongside temperatures going to the mid-80s statewide to near 90 degrees far west in the state. And it's just going to be feeling very sticky, oppressive out there, and only getting worse as we go through to tomorrow. An extreme heat warning is going to go out tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. through Thursday, 7 p.m., because it's going to be feeling like triple digits. Of course, temperatures are going to climb into the 90s, dew point still in the 70s, so it is going to be very hot and sticky as we go through the next few days. And that front's going to spark some strong to severe storms potentially, too. We've got a slight risk throughout the state starting off tomorrow and kind of moving its way through. I'd say 5 a.m. expect some storms to start to spark tomorrow. And then by 8 a.m., it looks like they're going to hit me in Oshkosh. And of course, we are still looking at more sparking up behind that tomorrow night, and then waves as we go into the evening as well. So some active weather headed our way. Of course, strong winds, hail, and tornadoes are possible too. But not today. Today's still decent. We're just building the heat today.
Good. Now, we talked last hour about what you did yesterday, walking around, seeing things, the Goodyear blimp and other sites. So now you're going into today. Do you make a plan? Because I looked at the schedule. It is ambitious. There's a lot going on at any given time. So do you go through with kind of a list of things that you want to hit, or are you just completely freewheeling?
So over the years, I have learned to pick one thing a day that you want to do and just make that your priority, and then everything else will fall into place. If you've got one thing, you'll accomplish it. So my one thing today is going to be warbirds. I'm going to be headed over to the warbird section to see what they're doing. I know that they got the B-29s back again, and it's rare to see them, so I'm pretty excited for that and see what they have going on there. They have reenactments and awesome, cool-looking planes. And then I think tomorrow I'm going to go to the aerobatics, so all the upside-down, loop-de-loopy guys flying around, see what they're up to.
All right. And from Rob in Tigerton, a little advice. Drink plenty of water. He says, I got Greg in my head now when I'm mowing. And she's got the water bottle. She is ready to go. I'm assuming you're sitting cross-legged in your tent there in Oshkosh, which is, I mean, I'm just kind of jealous as somebody who's now officially now too old to sit cross-legged on the floor the way that other people can. So much less
I know.
Get in the tent. So Tom and Jackson on the text line telling you to be safe as well today, but you know, just enjoy the day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys. You're the best.
All right. We'll talk to you a little later. Thanks, Brittany.
All right.
Chad Holmes joins us as well from Wausau. Chad, if I might start going back to the comment sections here, and some folks, I don't put it up on screen or share names. Some comments just deserve a quick response. And this one from our last segment about the increase in measles cases, the increase in tick-borne illnesses. The comment says, I'm 71. Any reason why I would care about ticks and kids getting measles? And sir, this show is not here to teach you to care. If you don't care by now about kids getting measles or a change in climate or whatever, this might not be the show for you. We're here specifically for people who care.
I'm gonna be Santa Claus here this morning.
Oh,
because I'm gonna be nice to that guy.
Okay,
I'm gonna give him an article that he'll probably just love reading.
All right,
because I'm gonna make him feel good this morning. Because if this guy wants to have somebody tell him things that this guy wants to hear, go to WasaPilotsAndReview.com and listen and read Tom Tiffany's letter to the editor from yesterday.
Oh no,
because this guy probably say, boy, that Tom is telling me all the things I really want to hear. And this world is perfect because people like Tom Tiffany are doing the right things. Actually, I think it's similar here. It's like this gentleman obviously doesn't give a darn about anything outside of the four walls of his house. And I think for the most part, even those that disagree with us politically, they do care. And there can be disagreements on maybe what the best path forward is. And I know there are disagreements. In fact, on Saturday, I had an event. And it was for a local group that provides help for families in our area that are battling cancer. And this is it's very interesting because I really like what they're doing in terms of there are other groups that are raising money to try to find the cure, but this group is actually taking care of people that are in the midst of it right now, especially kids, being able to send them off to a camp. And I had a discussion with one of the gentlemen involved in this group on Saturday. I didn't want to be honest with you. On Saturday, I don't want to go deep into some of these conversations. But he starts sat down and starts talking about how wishes there were no taxes at all, that everybody should just take care of everybody else, that would be better off if we were, you know, just basically had no government. And boy, and I'm thinking, I really don't want to get into this on a Saturday morning. But I got into it and I gave my point of view that you know, number one, it's a self-fulfilled prophecy when it comes to those on the right, when it comes to government, and the best government being no government, because you run on government being bad. When you get in, of course, you're going to incentive is there to be good government, because they say it's all bad. And then they got into the discussion of the Gilded Age, and I was drained by the end of it. But I don't know where I'm going with this.
I tell you what,
just got me going on that.
I had such an interesting conversation yesterday with somebody who was here to work on one of our appliances. So I had this appliance service tech in, and he's hearing me, and then we get to talking afterwards, and he, like many folks up here, describes himself as a conservative. He listens to a lot of talk radio throughout the course of the day, but he is increasingly turned off by the extremism of the far right talkers. And as I held, you know, as I made my points with him, as I've done countless times over the years, and talking to people who are, you know, center right to my degree of being center left, and we agree that there's so much more of us in the center, we're turned off by extreme voices, by my way or the highway, and we're looking for ways to work together. And by the time all said and done, he was like, I wish I would have had a chance to vote for you back when you were in the legislature and all that. And it, again, it sounds good in theory, but you have to have these conversations as difficult as they are. And I wasn't sure I wanted to get into this conversation, but you know, people do genuinely want to express themselves without being told, you know, you're wrong, you're dumb, but and instead, have you thought of it this way? And that's the way we're going to move forward, you know, in this country is having to have, you know, one conversation at a time. Now, I'm not saying it can overcome $1 billion worth of political ads.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere.
And I think the bottom line point to be made in this is I disagreed completely with this gentleman in terms of that conversation when it came to his viewpoint on what government should or should not be and the role of government and the role of taxes and the like. But at the same time, this is a gentleman that's actually putting up. You know, it's either put up or shut up.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's putting up. He is actually out there working to provide help to families with cancer. So I have the ultimate respect there. And having these discussions with somebody like that, who I know has his heart in the right place, but yet is truly a believer that no government is the best government. And frankly, I think you probably had a better grasp of the conversation than I did, because I get too overly emotional at times when with some of these conversations. But I think the bottom line point is, man, I mean, you know, if I was to say, well, this guy, you know, believes in no government and no taxes, my first thought, well, this is a very selfish person, and this guy is not a selfish person. So there are so many complexities when it comes to the conversations and the issues at hand and the point that we stand at, I guess, as citizens in our democracy in 2025.
Well, yes, and it's very clear that it's important where people get their information. I know that the gentleman I was talking to yesterday, you know, said a couple of things where I was like, well, if I were in more of a debate frame of mind, I would call things up and go, it's not exactly like that. It's more like this. But at the time, it was just better to listen and to say, okay, yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. And when the time is right, maybe we'll carry that conversation a little bit further. But I am reminded of yesterday's conversation about primary elections. And we're going to visit that topic again with Dan Schaefer in just under 20 minutes here. That there are some folks that will do anything to avoid primaries, Democrats and Republicans alike, that they're bad. And that, of course, gets other people very flustered. And I tell you, by the time that Kristen Lyerly and I got done having that conversation yesterday, we're pretty sure we cheesed off, you know, most of our friends in Democratic circles in one way or another, because they're both right and they're both wrong in various circumstances. And you just got to, again, the larger point being, you got to have the conversations about this on a case by case basis, whether it's should there be a primary versus should we raise the minimum wage versus, hey, you're helping these folks with cancer, but maybe we could have a system where people don't go bankrupt if they have cancer. A crazy idea. I'm going to talk about it in the next segment with the Affordable Care Act premiums going up, but maybe we need to fix the entire system so we don't need to have so much charity care going on out there.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's complex. People have to think. And I think, you know, having the conversation, I heard your conversation. There were points in your conversation yesterday where I was cheesed off on it. I mean, because when you start talking about, again, Rebecca Cook, my first thought comes that dumb ad where she's standing in the middle of the road saying pox on both your houses.
Yes.
And I mean,
that really bothered you. I remember that. Yep.
And I know, and that is the honest truth. And so it's like, I don't want to clear the primary over there for that. So, but at the same time, there were so many good points involved in it as well. So it's like, there's so much to it. And
there's so much to it. And again, one conversation at a time. Don't tune out. It's the people who tune out entirely that concern me most of all, because then, I mean, you're susceptible to almost anything out there. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO and Wausau. Catch him in Wausau for the local updates and, of course, across the Civic Media app and on the website as well. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. All right. Again, when we come back, some of you have a local break. And then later on, Dan Schaefer in our next half hour from the recombobulation area here live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball for a fun-filled day. They're throwing a Rafters Baseball Kids TV Takeover on Sunday, July 27th at 3:05 p.m., and you won't want to miss it. Your favorite Kids TV characters will be there ready to meet you and take pictures. Enjoy some tasty food and cheer on the team with your family and friends. It's going to be an awesome day of excitement and laughter, so bring everyone along to Witter Field. They can't wait to see you there.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Steely Dan stuff and all the Eagle stuff, the harmonies and all this stuff. When you really break it down and you get it right and then you give it to them like it was on the hit record, oh, my God, they come over and they're just like, oh, my God, you guys sound exactly like the record, you know. And that's what we're trying to do.
I would piggyback on that and say, you know, we're not trying to do a parody of this. We're trying to really pay homage to the original artist. And so we try to give the audience a really authentic experience. We don't dress up in goofy outfits. We try to give them an authentic 70s experience, you know, like as if they were coming to see a band from the 70s doing that music. And doing it at a very high level.
Well said. That's really interesting, you guys. I appreciate that. You mentioned working with Elliot Lurie, lead singer of Looking Glass, and of course the hit Brandy. What has it been like working with him?
Just a fantastic experience for us. He's been wonderful. Traveling with him, performing with him. I mean, the first time he got on the stage with us, and he's just that voice, you know, that deep baritone. Say a little, say brand, you know, like as soon as we heard it, it was just like, you know, the chills went right down the body, you know. It was very exciting. Very accomplished guy. He's done a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of dates coming up with him. We're very excited. We've established a good relationship with him, and he's using us as his backup band for a couple of shows coming up in Springfield, Mass. At the Big E event. So we've learned quite a few of his songs and Looking Glass's songs, and we look forward to a long lasting relationship with him.
That's really cool to hear. I could not be happier for you guys and your success, and really, really appreciate you joining us. We've been hanging out and talking about this great show that's coming to our neck of the woods right here at the Performing Arts Center. Fun begins at 4 on Sunday, August 10th. We're going to talk more about that with Sally and Eric. But guys, thanks so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate the time.
Thanks, our pleasure.
Yep. Hey, safe travels out there, and we'll see you at the show, okay?
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. What a fun time. That was awesome. I could talk to those guys all day. I don't, something about talking to good musicians and people that really talk. You can hear it in their voice, Eric. You can hear that they love this stuff, that they care about this stuff. I'm sure that notoriety, money, all those things can help and make things. But when we get to talk to artists like that, you really do get an idea that they love what they do.
Yeah, I think it's awesome they're being authentic, and having 10 members in the band, they're really able to bring out a lot of those nuances, like they said, in the music that you don't often hear, you know, whether it's, you know, the congas or a marimba or something just offbeat that, you know, oftentimes you don't hear in just plain old rock and roll. You know, so it's those layers of the music that I think is really cool too.
This band, Sally, is going to be playing hits like we mentioned, all those bands. Oh, I meant to mention Little River Band. I meant to mention that one. That's another one, Reminiscing. Yeah. I mean, so they'll be playing stuff like that and all these. So they, for one, to your point, Eric, they need that many people out there to be able to cover all these different types of songs and stuff and bringing all this. And I know we talked about this a little bit when you were with us the last time and everything, but how did you come across these guys again?
I don't even remember my path, but when I heard them, I absolutely loved them. And at that point, Elliot Lurie, I didn't even know he was an option to bring him in. And when they told me about that and we looked at videos from that and everything, we're like, you know, might as well do it upright.
Yeah. It's been really, I think, again, as I am no journalist integrity, I'm biased. I like a lot of this style of music and everything. I think it's kind of cool to see it brought back. And so much of it has been like a lot of things in culture, pop culture, we kind of did this. It wasn't really marketed back. It was kind of something that the yacht rock is not something that a bunch of studio executives came up with. It's something that was just kind of created in people talking about this music and giving it a label. And it's been kind of fun. And it's really cool to see a band like this and great musicians like this getting rewarded and the success of this show. This is a very popular show. I thought it was pretty big. I look up online and I'm looking at their YouTube page, which I encourage you guys to check out. And I'll give you the website to go to in a minute. They're a lot bigger than I realized. And to the guy's point, you can see the crowd. It's one thing to hear people singing along with a song and one hit, you know, that every band we've seen our whole lives when we gone to shows. It's every song they're singing along with. It's every song. I don't even know if I would actually, if I could talk to Elliot, he might be able to rest his voice a little bit. Just let the audience take over because they know the words and they're going to be singing along with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. We want you to sing along with the band and enjoy. Let's get into the details of the show a bit, Sally. What can people expect?
You bet. Just a lot of fun. A lot of fun for a summer show. Mm-hmm. That was our goal. Tickets are $43 for adults and $15 for students, and you can get them through the Arts Council website, savorthearts.com, or give us a call, 715-424-2787, or stop by and see us, 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 in Wisconsin Rapids. And then we're also having some fun after the show. We're bringing in some food trucks in the parking lot, and we've got three of them. And we've got some kind of cool menus. Chatterbox, who a lot of locals are familiar with, Kathy put together a menu. She's going to have wraps, shish kebabs, chicken wings, fish tacos, seafood po' boys, pasta salad, fresh fruit, chips, dip, punch, lemonade. And then we have one we haven't tried before called Hello Doggy that we've heard good things about. This one is cash only. They're from the Adams area, and they have Chicago-style hot dogs, or fixed any way you'd like it, Polish sausage with kraut, chili dog with cheese, and then chips and soda and water and things like that. And our third vendor is Jamaican Kitchens with their general menu, which is awesome.
Yeah, great. A longtime lover. All those great ones out there. Oh, great idea, too, to bring this in over there. It's going to be fun. It's a show and a dinner. Not dinner and a show. I like that, though. It's a fun way to do it. You're going to be hungry after this one.
So, you bet. After singing so much and burning up all those calories.
Dancing in the aisles, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we want you to be a part of it. And this is, it's going to be a great time. Really fun show, and as you mentioned, Sally, something fun in summer, you know, and keeping in the minds of everybody and stuff. Keep in mind as well with this, everybody, that as you attend these events, you buy these tickets, you go to this, you are putting back into your community, you're supporting the arts here in Central Wisconsin, and we cannot thank you enough for doing that. So you're gonna have a good time while also knowing that you're helping out some great cause and with great people out there, because we love art around this country and this in this area. We have so many great artists.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Cross. Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin is joining another multi-state lawsuit against actions taken by the Trump administration. Lisa Hale has the details.
The new lawsuit challenges a rule change by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It argues the rule change would make it more difficult for residents to obtain health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act. In a press release, Attorney General Call said the change would decrease the total enrollment in Wisconsin's individual marketplace and make premiums less affordable.
A group of Republican state lawmakers is renewing efforts to repeal a partial veto by Governor Tony Evers that increased school funding for the next 400 years. A newly proposed bill would eliminate the per-pupil adjustments from the 2023-2025 biennial state budget beginning in the 2026-2027 school year. The partial veto allows school districts to raise revenue limits by $325 per student every year through 2425. The Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the veto following a legal challenge earlier this year. A proposed bill by the Wisconsin State Legislature seeks to address a shortage in the number of school bus drivers across the state. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles, the number of bus drivers in the state has fallen by nearly 20% over the last 15 years. The legislation would make it easier for older drivers to keep their license by requiring drivers over 70 years old to retake their driver's test every 4 years instead of every two. About a quarter of school bus drivers in the state are over 65. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're in the Madison area and looking for a cool event, check out the annual Atwood Fest. This amazing music festival features three stages, great food, and great East Side vibes. Saturday, you can catch bands like Rare Element, Mama Dig Down's Brass Band, love that name, American Scarecrows, and Madison favorites VO5. Sunday features local favorites like Steely Dan, the Jeremiah Jams Band, and the Mark Hembry Bluegrass Band. Atwood Fest takes place, you guessed it, in Madison's Atwood Hood this Saturday, July 26th from noon to 10 p.m., and Sunday, the 27th, from noon to 7:30. Who doesn't love a Cinderella story, especially when it's literally a Cinderella story? Disney is in the works for a new take on the classic Rodgers and Hammerstein story of the overworked Cinderella. The new look will be told from the standpoint of the godparents. Jennifer Lopez is attached as an executive producer, but there is no cast attached yet. The original Cinderella dropped in 1957 with Julie Andrews playing the title character. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be warm and muggy here the next couple of days. Partly cloudy today, 86 with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, thunderstorms likely with a low dropping to 73. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms. It's going to be muggy with a heat index approaching 100 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin's elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Did you know the Recombobulation Area is a 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, and that the Recombobulation Area is now part of Civic Media? If you didn't, well, then you must be new to these Tuesday visits that we do with Dan Schaefer from the aforementioned Recombobulation Area. Get it at therecombobulationarea.news. Dan Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
What are your impressions of the Brewers hitting 11? At what point do you go stand outside a George Webb hamburger restaurant and say, gimme, gimme, gimme?
Well, we got an exciting day for our Brewers here today. We've got a Mizorowski start and the chance to go 12 in a row here. So I am going to absolutely be watching that one and be ready to head right over to my neighborhood, George Webb's, as soon as the Brewers win this one.
Did you take advantage of either the other two times in our recent lifetimes that they did the hamburger giveaway?
I did in, 2018?
2018.
Right, okay. Toward the end of the season there in 2018. So, I was able to take advantage of that one. Brought my daughter. We got some cheeseburgers. It was a good time.
It does beg the question, maybe somebody already did it already, how much it costs that local restaurant chain to do it versus how much, you know, publicity, how much earned media they got out of it. It strikes me as probably a win-win for them.
You know, I grew up going to George Webb's. That was like a real high school hangout for us, just having somewhere to go. And I always enjoy a reason to go back and enjoy some George Webb's. That's for sure.
Good. Well, we'll be certainly hoping for the best for tonight here again. 8:05 pregame begins, Brewers versus the Mariners. We can say with a high amount of confidence that we have no breaking news. At no point has the governor's office called you or called me this morning with a heads up. So we continue to be on Evers' watch on whether he's running for a third term or not. I have to say, I've enjoyed watching the rumor mill be wrong in both ways, saying, oh, he's about to announce he's not running. Oh, he's about to announce he is running. No, neither one came.
Well, I have stayed out of that part of the reporting of this. I'm certainly talking to people and trying to learn more about what's going on, but I have not reported anything either way about when the governor is making a decision, what decision he might be making. I have some inklings about where these things are going to go, and obviously you know where I stand on this. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for whatever it's worth, I think Tony Evers has earned the right to make this decision on his own time. I think there's a lot of griping about, the decision and what he should do. And obviously I have said multiple times online and on the airwaves that I think Evers should not run for a third term. But I also think that he has earned every right to make this decision on his own time. And if he needs some extra time to make it, I think he's earned that. There are some consequences of that, right? I think it does mean that just about everything in Wisconsin politics with an eye on 2026 is in a little bit of a holding pattern. We're all just kind of waiting for that decision to be made for then all of the rest of the dominoes to fall.
And based on yesterday's headlines, whatever the governor decides, you can absolutely count that a year from now, Hunter Biden will come up with a new reason as to why that decision was made and ruin everything. So.
Good. What in the world was that interview? Oh my goodness!
What in the world is Hunter Biden? But and it came out on the 1 year anniversary of President Biden deciding not to run. And honestly, nothing has been the same since that day. We can now say officially 366 days later, what a year it's been.
You know? Oh, I know. And that was right on the heels of the RNC in Milwaukee. So I remember being just exhausted from spending long, long days covering the RNC in Milwaukee for the Recombobulation Area, finishing that up, having a couple days to decompress, and all of a sudden that news hits on a Sunday afternoon, and all of a sudden we're right back into it. you know, it's one of those moments where you're going to remember where you are when you heard the news. And now I think a year later, I think, you know, look, obviously Harris didn't win, but going from Biden to Harris, I think, saved several Senate seats, including, I think, Tammy Baldwin's for Democrats. I think it prevented a huge Republican majority in the House of Representatives. I think it stemmed the tide of a down ballot disaster. And I think I had been made aware of some polling here in Wisconsin for some, you know, races in the Wisconsin state legislature that were showing that even under new maps, the Republicans were going to be at near supermajority levels if Biden was going to be the guy at the top of the ticket. So I think that, you know, take a look at what happened in the state Senate in the most recent budget process. I don't think any of that happens if Biden stays on the ticket and you know, candidates have to spend so much time going on doors and justifying why Biden is still the candidate and all of that. And I think, you know, Harris and her campaign, there are things that I liked about it. There are things that I didn't like about it. But ultimately, I think she gave it a fighting chance, gave the Democrats a fighting chance to win the White House in the 107 days that she had the opportunity to do so. So I don't really have a lot of good things to say about Joe Biden or his family members who are trying to come out and justify the insanity of trying to run a campaign based on honesty and integrity while asking people to deny the evidence of their eyes and ears.
You mentioned the prospect of new maps, and new maps are something we're going to continue talking about in Wisconsin, even though we're in mid-decade. Because, as noted in your most recent newsletter, the independent redistricting effort begins anew in Wisconsin. Inside the effort to bring a long-term, permanent solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin. Tell us about the column.
Yeah, so I was writing this piece over the last couple of weeks here and got a chance to talk to a number of folks who have long been involved in the Fair Maps movement in Wisconsin and are kind of beginning the latest effort anew. And last year, when Tony Evers signed new maps into law in February of 2024, I think that was a momentous achievement for the state of being out from under a decade of the most egregious partisan gerrymander for any state legislature in the country and moving towards a better, newer, fairer maps that were initiated by this remedial maps process that came through the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Huge achievement, but not a long-term one. It's a short-term fix to the problem of unconstitutional maps. And 2030 is, you know, just a few years away, and we're going to be back at square one without an actual legislative change to reform the way the state operates its redistricting process. And so I talked to people with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Fair Maps Coalition and the League of Women's Voters and a number of volunteers who have been meeting for hours every week to talk about and hone this plan to try to get a quote-unquote Wisconsin model for independent redistricting in the state. And I think the plan that they have come up with is a pretty compelling one. And right now it is what is happening. It is kind of coming from the behind the scenes, you know, crafting the proposal, crafting the process stage to really bringing it to the public. So they've held a number of public events about this proposal over the past few weeks. I believe they had ones in Wausau and Green Bay and Dodgeville and Whitefish Bay, just north of Milwaukee. And so I think they're eyeing to have more of these in the coming months and eventually have a proposal that will bring legislation creating an independent redistricting commission for the state of Wisconsin that would oversee the redistricting process every 10 years. And then it would also include a push for a constitutional amendment to change to amend the state constitution to say that it is not the legislators themselves who are drawing the maps, who have oversight over the redistricting process. You know, kind of the old adage of the voters should pick their leaders, not the other way around.
So in a reminder that, again, I am just a humble former legislator who was ahead of my time. I recall in 2010 that another freshman state senator and I approached leadership and said, look, 2010 is going to be a tough year. And we want to run on a reform platform that includes an independent redistricting commission. We think we'd get a lot of mileage with voters out of saying, you know, let's take the map drawing out of the politicians' hands. And we were met with an expletive and said, no, 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 we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps. And I think we know how well that worked out. And so here we are 15 years later. still talking about the need for an independent redistricting commission in Wisconsin that, again, I'm glad they're starting as early as they are because we don't know the results of the 2026 election, but they need to be ready come January of 2027, try to put together, you know, enough of a bipartisan coalition where the party leaders from one or both parties don't go, well, blank that, we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps.
Yeah, and the goal for this is to have bipartisan support, and it is very purposefully not being crafted in partnership with any lawmakers from either major political party in Wisconsin. I think some of the people that I talked to for this are a little bit more skeptical of Democrats' motivations in the Fair Maps movement after some wanted to wait and have the courts draw the maps during the remedial maps process last year, instead of having the governor sign the maps that he himself proposed. So I think some were waiting for a slightly more advantageous map for Democrats. And I think some people, some of these pro-democracy advocates and Fair Maps activists are saying, wait a minute there. That's not really what we're here about. That's not what our priorities and principles are. And so I think there are some people in that space who are wanting to say, you know, we don't want either party to have the opportunity to gerrymander maps ever in Wisconsin. Again, we saw how it decimated the state's politics in so many ways. And so regardless of which party would be in power in 2030, the effort here is to get that power out of the power to draw the maps out of the politicians' hands.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. You can sign up for his newsletter, therecombobulationarea.news. And, of course, he's the political editor here at Civic Media as well. We talked about it being it's quiet here while we wait for the governor to make his announcement. Do you feel, maybe you have the list right next to you, you know, that if the governor announces he's not running and the list of potential candidates, can you imagine how many phone calls are going to be made within like the first 5 minutes of that announcement? And I really am concerned that some of these folks, their phones might actually catch fire because so many calls are going to be coming into them going, do you have something to say? And we should know better. There's nobody that's going to announce within 5 minutes of the governor's announcement that they're running, even though we all want to be the first one to get somebody saying that they're running. So We're just tempering expectations, I guess, is what I'm doing here.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, there are a lot of careers riding on what the decision the governor makes, right? I think we've gone through the list, I think, on this show or others a couple different times about who the group of candidates might be to run for governor. But it's certainly going to be a busy time as soon as Evers makes that decision. And that's not to say like what the other implications of that might be, what, you know, races for attorney general or secretary of state, depending on who might be running. And I think there are, you know, the domino effect of this is going to be pretty profound, regardless of what way this goes for the governor, especially if he decides not to seek a third term. There are going to be a lot of changes in Democratic politics in Wisconsin. And once again, I will reiterate, I think that's a good thing.
And I will let folks know that unlike back in 2018, we do not go into this with a prohibitive favorite. Again, Governor then Tony Evers, not the governor, the state superintendent, took his time making a decision to run. And in that time, 10 to 12 other Democrats got into the race, knowing full well that if Evers decided, well, maybe I'm going to run after all, he instantly became the prohibitive favorite and emerged from that primary. But nobody knew until they did. All these other candidates got in. So once again, all these years later, we've got a waiting game coming up for Tony Evers. A local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota, talking with Dan Schaefer. And remember, you can follow us all the time at upnorthnewswi.com and right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
If you could hear Old Spice Fiji Antiperspirant, what would it sound like? First, you'd start with Fiji Antiperspirant's amazing scent of palm trees. Add pure notes of fresh coconut and layer on 24/7 odor and sweat protection. You won't hear any dyes or parabens because with Fiji, you won't have any. So while your regular antiperspirant sounds like this, Old Spice Fiji sounds like this.
sounds like it smells amazing.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Don't turn on the AC. It costs a fortune to run that old thing. Remember, we only run it when it's like 85 degrees outside, and we turn it off when it's 80 in the house. We can't afford to run it any more than that. Mommy and Daddy had to stick a lot of money in it last year because of a leak.
Wait, you put money in the air conditioner?
Not exactly, but it seems that way to me.
Don't they make better ones now? They make better cars. Isn't that why you bought a new car last year? Because it costs a lot to fix it?
Well, yes. And I suppose they make better ACs now. I wonder how much a new one costs.
Call Tri-City Services for a free quote to replace that air conditioner that feels like it costs a fortune to operate. Tri-City has great financing options to qualified credit on a new AC that'll save you money. You can operate it all summer long without worrying about dipping into your kids' college fund to pay the utility bill. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 14th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, welcoming in the studio one of our favorite people. We have Kathy McGrath with us. Her husband, Pat, is also here. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate the time.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We're going to be talking with Kathy about monarchs, and Kathy, of course, is our local monarch expert. We've talked to Kathy many times about this. I feel like, Kathy, when we get together, most of the time, it's to kind of highlight an event coming up, and we're going to wrap up with a great event coming up. But oftentimes, we're really focusing on events and promoting that along with other things. Today, we're really going to just dive into monarchs and talk a little bit more about that. And I'm really excited about that.
Perfect.
But I come to you, Kathy, and I say, I do, thanks to you, but let's say I didn't know anything about monarchs, and I'm just really interested and really intrigued by this. Where do you begin?
Well, I can talk for hours, but I'll try to limit it today. Usually I talk about the life cycle of the monarch to begin with and the stages that we go through with the monarchs. So basically, when you are starting out, the monarch starts out as an egg. It is teeny, teeny, tiny, actually the size of a pinhead. And it's kind of off-colored white, more of a cream color. And if you know what an old-fashioned lemon squeezer looks like, it actually has ridges on the side, but you don't see those with the naked eye because it is so teeny tiny small. But Pat and I go out hunting for monarch eggs, and people say, really? That's an egg? Because they are teeny, teeny tiny. And I've got one here to show James.
Yeah.
They're a little white dot. And so when we find an egg, we bring it in and take off the whole leaf that that egg is on and then cut a little circle around it, because if we're collecting eggs, we can't keep all these great big leaves. Within 3 to 5 days, a tiny caterpillar is going to emerge from that egg, which there is one in there. You need really sharp eyes to see it. So when I was teaching kindergarten, it was helpful with the eyes of the and 6-year-olds. So it's in the egg for 3 to 5 days, and then out comes that teeny tiny caterpillar.
Kathy, I think you should probably tell them, too, one of the reasons why we do this.
That's true. You tell them.
Basically, the population of monarch butterflies has dropped since 1990 by about 80 to 90%. And, you know, a lot of it is because so much agriculture is now Roundup ready. And years ago, milkweed would grow in cornfields along with the corn. It doesn't anymore. And then pesticides and herbicides are a big problem, because she found out one time when I was in Washington at a meeting, and she collected a bunch of caterpillars at a friend's house down by Petenwell. And that night she called me and says, "Well, there's green tracks all over the bottom of the aquarium." And I said, "Where'd you get the milkweed?" "Oh, by a potato field." I said, "Oh, they spray."
Yeah.
And everything in the aquarium died, all the caterpillars.
But anyway, this helps. In nature, 5 out of 100 become butterflies. We get about a 90% turnout. So it's helping them.
Very much. Thank you for that, Pat. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And one, you know, just piggybacking on that a little bit, we've heard a lot of, it's been a good thing to see on the rise, the information and saving our bees and talking about our pollinators, what we just did in May, and having our yards grow a little bit longer for our pollinators and some of this. Butterflies, a monarch in particular, is a beautiful butterfly. This story is, I think, almost one of the more common stories to know in insect culture and some of that. All that being said, I don't think that we know nearly enough about them, and I don't think, and to that, to lean into the importance of them and how important they are in the insect food chain, if you will, and pollinating in so many of these things. They're not just pretty to look at. They are a hard working butterfly. They're a hard working insect. They do a lot of good for us.
Correct. And of course, the only place that you're ever going to find a monarch egg is on milkweed. And so that's the other part of the whole life cycle, that you have to have milkweed if you're going to have monarch butterflies. So we are a monarch waste station. Our home is. And we have milkweed growing, different kinds, and we also have nectar flowers, because you need both. So now when we've been releasing monarchs, and we've released probably 250 or so already this summer, they're looking at the nectar flowers, because that's what the butterflies need. And milkweed itself, the caterpillars eat the leaves, but the butterflies need the milkweed blossoms. And right now the milkweed is blossoming, and if you've ever smelled the blossoms of the milkweed, they are really
just like lilacs almost.
Very, very smell really well. And so that's part of the thing. So from egg to butterfly is about a month. They're in the egg 3 to 5 days, then they become a caterpillar, and they go through 5 instar stages where they shed their skin and get bigger. And then when they're about the size of your little finger, they're ready to make the chrysalis. And the difference between a chrysalis and a cocoon is that moths come out of a cocoon and butterflies come out of a chrysalis. So when I was reading Eric Carle's book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar, to the kindergartners, and at the end he says, "And out of the cocoon came a beautiful butterfly." The kindergartner said, "He said it wrong," because they knew that it was a chrysalis. And they said, "We need to write to Eric Carle and tell him." And I said, "I think he's probably already known that." But a good thing for children to learn that adults don't know everything, and we all make mistakes.
100%. I love any opportunity like that. That's a great story. That's fantastic.
So once the caterpillar makes the chrysalis, it's in the chrysalis for about 2 more weeks. And you can tell when the chrysalis gets dark, like this necklace that I'm wearing, when it gets dark like this, you can tell that the butterfly is going to come out in a few days. Usually probably 48 hours from the time you first see it dark like this. And when the butterfly emerges from the chrysalis, it hangs on that empty shell of the chrysalis, which is actually...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Heat alerts are up across a large swath of the eastern U.S. with feels-like temps in some spots expected to soar as high as 110 degrees. Advice from Dr. Dale Kreiner in Memphis.
If you are out, you're starting to feel a little flush, you're sweating, your heart rate's up a little bit, you may be feeling a little faint, that's more heat exhaustion, and that's really your body warning you that you've got to get out of that heat.
Treasury Secretary softening the administration's stance on Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Scott Bessent tells Fox Business.
His term ends in May. If he wants to see that through, I think he should.
The president's called for Powell to resign over the Fed's refusal to lower interest rates. In the Middle East, air raid sirens in Tel Aviv, where the IDF says it intercepted a missile launched from Yemen after an Israeli attack on Houthi targets yesterday.